Well, it is great to see the church packed again after our experience of Snowmageddon, as they say. In honor of Valentine's Day, I wanted to just share a little story. Up at the gates of heaven, there were two lines, and over the lines, there were two signs. Over the first sign, it said, "Stand here, men, if you were henpecked by your wife while you were on earth." And there were 10 million men in line. Over the other sign said, "Stand here if you were not henpecked by your wife while you were on earth." And there was one man standing there, a little Irish fellow named Riley. And St. Peter went over to him and said, "Riley, what are you doing standing here?" He says, "I'm not sure. My wife told me to stand here." Of course, that really has nothing to do with Valentine's Day, but... In today's Gospel, we have the Beatitudes given to us by St. Luke. And when you compare Matthew's version of the Beatitudes and Luke's version, it's very interesting to take a look at the comparison. Obviously, Jesus preached the Beatitudes on more than one occasion. Every time the Lord spoke, I'm sure He gave a talk in different ways and explained things in different manners, just as we as priests, maybe on Saturday night, may give a homily, then we change it around and give it differently on Sunday. So in the Lord's teaching of the Beatitudes found in St. Matthew, He gives us 8 Beatitudes. Whereas in today's Gospel, Jesus teaches us 4 Beatitudes, and then 4 warnings, or 4 woes, as He calls them. In Matthew, Jesus gives the sermon up on the mountain. In today's Gospel, we just read that He was down on the level ground, that He preached it down on the stretch of level ground. So Matthew's is called the Sermon on the Mount, Luke's the Sermon on the Plain. In Matthew, He gives us 8 Beatitudes. Today, Jesus gives us 4 Beatitudes and 4 warnings. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Blessed are they." In Luke, today He tells us, "Blessed are you." Those are the main differences between Matthew's Beatitudes and Luke's Beatitudes. In both cases, though, Jesus uses the word blessed. Blessed are they, or blessed are you, who are poor, or poor in spirit. What does that word blessed mean? It means much more than just happy. It means being approved by God, being pleasing in the sight of God. That's what it means to be blessed, to be approved in the sight of God. Now, what does the word woe mean in Scripture? Because Jesus today gives us 4 times where He says, "Woe to you who are rich, to you who are now filled, to you who laugh now." And the Lord uses this word. It's a word of warning, a word of sorrow and regret. It's a word trying to get people to take stock of their lives and to really examine their consciences so that they can be converted and change their ways. If we look at first theme, the blessings, the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Woe to you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." He says, "Blessed are you who are poor. The kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry. You will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for one day you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you on account of my name." And Jesus says, if you experience any of these things, poverty, hunger, sorrow, or persecution, He says, leap for joy, for your reward will be great in heaven. And that's really the first point to take with us from the Beatitudes, that the suffering of this world, St. Paul says, is as nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So the sufferings of this world, whether people experience poverty or hunger or heartache, that is all temporary. We're not going to be on this earth forever. These are temporary sufferings, but the main thing is getting to heaven, to be happy with God for all eternity. How many years do we live in this world? 50 years, 75 years, maybe 100 years, some a little bit longer. But compared to eternity, that's a split second. So whether we experience these hardships here and now, God will always reward and bless those who go through difficult times in this world. God will not forget the poor. He will not forget the hungry. He will not forget the weeping or the persecuted. He promises in today's gospel, your reward will be great in heaven. That's something to look forward to. Heavenly glory to be with God for all eternity. So if we experience poverty or hardship or difficulties, maybe weeping, which means like the loss of a loved one, maybe you lost a spouse or a member of the family, or maybe you're weeping because of your own sins of the past, which is a very good thing to do, to be sorry for our sins. Or maybe you're weeping for the sins of the world, maybe the sins of terrorism or abortion or child abuse. These things we should weep over when we see the innocent being so attacked. So we should weep. And Jesus says if we weep over these things, one day in heaven we will be filled with joy. If we experience poverty in this world, and again Matthew tells us that it's not only physical poverty, but being poor in spirit, which means being humble, being meek and humble of heart, being lowly, like Jesus himself, our reward will be great in heaven. If we hunger, not only for food, but hunger for the truth and hunger for justice and righteousness, one day in heaven, we will be satisfied. See, heaven is where we have the fulfillment of all our hopes and desires and goals, is filled in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says, if you experience any of these things, realize that God will not forget you. He will reward you in heaven. But then the Lord concludes by giving us some warnings. He warns the rich. He warns the satisfied. He warns those who are maybe so selfish or self-focused that we have to change our ways. Jesus says, woe to you who are rich, for you've already had your consolation. Woe to you who are now filled, for you will one day go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, you will one day grieve and weep. Woe when all speak well of you. That's how the ancestors treated the false prophets. What is the Lord referring to here? Well, first of all, is it wrong to laugh and to be joyful? Not at all. That's a good thing. The Lord here is warning those who live a life of hedonism or secularism, that those who don't even think of God, that are always involved in entertainment and the party spirit, that's what the Lord is warning. That they have to focus on the salvation of their soul and not to get caught up in all the glitter and the entertainments of life. And we have a warning for those who are rich. What are we doing with our riches? Do we care for the poor? Are we generous with the needy? Or do we keep it to ourselves? See, a rich person could be very generous to the poor and be truly blessed by God. Or they could be very selfish and keep all their riches to themselves and not think about the suffering or the poor or the needy. It's what we do with our wealth that will determine where we go in the next life. What we do with our material possessions. Are we selfish with them? Or are we generous with them and think of the needs of others? I just want to end today by asking you to take a look at the pledge envelopes from the Bishop's Lenten Appeal, because I think it really ties in with the Beatitudes of trying to do what we can to reach out to those in need, to the poor, to the hungry, to the homeless. If you could, for a moment, before we go on with the Mass, just take a look at the pledge envelopes, and if you could, at this time, fill it out, one per family, and they're all in your pews. If you can just pass them down to everybody in your pews, and there's pencils in all the pews as well. Just take a moment to pray and to make a sacrifice, to think about all the good that the Bishop's Lenten Appeal does through Catholic Charities, through the pro-life efforts of our diocese, through the youth ministry, through Catholic schools and religious ed, to educate our seminarians, our future priests. We're very blessed. We have 37 seminarians in our diocese. That's very good compared to the national average. So your contribution today will help all these excellent causes. So if you can just take a moment now to fill it out, because the ushers will be around at the regular time to take up the collection. So just put this in the collection today. You can either make a gift today or make a pledge. So first fill out your name, first and last name, and your address. And then when it says parish name, make sure you put down Holy Trinity, so our parish will get the credit for that. And because our goal is $129,000, and we're such a generous parish, we've always met our goal every year. So I'm sure we'll meet it again this year, thanks to your generosity. Even if you already sent your offering to the diocese already, like I did, just make a check where it says I'm already sent my BLA pledge by the mail. And so then you don't need to write another number on the right-hand side, because they'll already have a record of that. But even if you've already sent your pledge in, and I know many of you already have done that through the mail, fill this out anyway with your name and parish name, and then just leave the pledge part blank. If you've not yet made a pledge, please do so. You can make a donation today or a pledge where they will send you monthly reminders. So again, thanks so much for your incredible generosity. We have such a generous parish, and what we've done for so many of the needy people in Haiti, in Africa, the Dominican Republic, and in our own community. So again, thanks so much for your support to help educate our seminarians and help with Catholic Charities and all the wonderful things that the BLA does. So just take a moment now and prayerfully make the sacrifice, and the ushers will come around at the usual time, and you can just throw those in the collection baskets. God bless you, and thanks for all your support.